Welcome to Nerd Management, live from Comic Book University, all you sorority sisters and fraternity brothers. I'm your comic book host, Warner Swopes.
And I'm Alec Ward. It's okay.
The other host.
The other host.
The other white host. We also have our sound producers with us tonight. We have Justin Richard Smith over here.
Oh, Richard.
And Christopher Banna.
Chocolate.
Old Burger Sack over
old
there.
Burger Sack.
Sitting across from us.
Delicious.
And we also have two special guests with us tonight.
We're very special.
Yes. We're special.
Yeah. Tell us about yourselves.
My name is Chase Kahlo. I am the sponsorship director for Indie PopCon. I had said previously that I loved Ewoks, but I would like to revise that to Mogwai.
Okay, yeah. Another really, small furry. Yeah.
I think more than anything, I'd love to see a battle between the two.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome. That would be good.
That's my intro.
I wonder if you can feed Ewoks after midnight.
Oh,
if you
man.
Do,
that's a good
if you do feed
them. Oh,
no. That's awesome. I was going to go with Wookiee, but you just one up to there.
And the fan fiction begins now.
I'm Carl Doninger. I'm the director of operations with Indie PopCon. And I just followed Chase down here to fill out the everything that he's going to tell you that's not right.
Yeah. Which is most of it.
Well, that's great. We're glad to have you guys on. And I need to mention that they are eating Mexican wedding cakes out of a Ziploc baggie. And just, I don't even know where it came from.
We did not bring them.
I do not.
That's awesome.
I have to add as well, when I picked them up from Rob, there was already a hole in them. So
anthrax.
Yeah, any chance of tampering is highly likely.
Yeah. But you guys have been mowing down on those, so I think we'd see some effects by now.
And Rob is quite a shady character most of the time.
He is.
Bryson.
Then you just reach for another one.
So as we mentioned, we're recording at Comic Book University right now. The new Comic Book University.
Mm-hmm.
The larger location now is like three times the size of the old store. And
better
has these
better.
Awesome gaming rooms that we're using for podcasts. Tonight.
And geekier.
And, yeah, a lot geekier. At least three times as geeky.
This is their first time being here.
And you guys have never been to Comic Book University yet at this location,
not
right?
This location, no.
Sweet.
Took my B-card today.
Yeah. That's awesome. So let's jump right into the books of the week. Alec,
yeah,
would you
yeah.
like to start us off with your favorite book of the week?
Which, it's not
I gotta
really
say,
a huge surprise.
Both of them are going to be not surprising to anyone that listens to the show.
But Batman 25 is my book of the week. First of all, I just want to say, and I don't know if anybody else here, I know you probably read it. But,
I read it, yeah.
I just genuinely love the artwork that Capullo is putting out. It's so... reminiscent of like the old detective stuff, and that goes with the coloring as well. And that's not why I picked it, but
pretty pictures,
yeah, pretty pictures. I don't need any words, but it's just it's gorgeous. And I every issue that's come out for 0 year has just been increasingly better. But
I have a counter statement,
a rebuttal.
Yeah, like I totally love how Snyder and Capullo got it together and they just relaunched it. I mean, it's been the strongest book in 52, and I love Snyder's stories, but this, I think, 0 year is the first time that I have literally felt like I don't want to read any of this until I can read all of it.
Sure.
Because it has been, you know, it wasn't until I listened to a podcast with the two of them on, and they explained this is a three-part story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that.
It, and I'm like, I have no idea, am I flashing forward? Am I flashing back? What's happening? You know, and it's one of those, I know, again, I get it all together, and I'll be like, it's brilliant. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And then, but I want to buy it. You know, every
you
month.
You want to binge
like,
on it.
Yeah, and the only thing that I understand are the little mini stories in the back. And
sure.
I love those. Those are amazing.
Which actually was going to bring up my point, because the mini story in the back was dealing with Harper Row as a child. What do you guys think she's... Because she has to be something, right?
I don't think she can be the new Robin, because I really feel like Carrie Kelly from... Dark Knight Returns is where we first seen her in the 80s. But, but she's recently been reintroduced in Batman and Robin... as like this supporting character, and I think she's probably going to be the new Robin. I don't think you can have two Robins, but Harper Row also
she's
has
be
like
something, right?
She seems to be helping Batman.
Super
she's just a hot girl that helps Batman with the grid, whatever that is.
I think, you know, it's one of those that it's hard to use any past information, because once they did, you know, the New 52. You're like, okay, so we're restarting this universe.
Yeah.
Batman has, like, former Robins, and you're like, what?
And this all happened in, like, 6 years.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about that a little bit when I talk about my book of the week, too, because there's a little bit of a continuity situation that I'm confused about. But One thing I was going to mention about Batman is this whole 0 year stuff. I was like, I really hate flashback stories. I'm just not really into it. But it's been really great. And if you guys have you read any of the 0 year tie-ins, like any of the other ones?
Like the Green Lantern Corps? How does that even work?
No thanks on that one. But I read the Nightwing one and the Batgirl one today, okay. And they were both really awesome. Like the Nightwing one was just Dick Grayson when he was like working at the circus, being an acrobat. And basically, he leaves the circus when it's at Gotham to like go just hang out in Gotham by himself. And then all this blackout happens and he basically is just wearing his Flying Grayson's t-shirt that happens to be the old Nightwing logo. You know, the one from the 80s where it's like a big blue bird.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he's just hanging out in this old, like, Nightwing t-shirt almost. I just air quoted and no one can see it. But
that's really good podcast.
But he had, like, a red shirt on over it, and it gets torn when this guy beats him up. So he just takes the torn red shirt and, like, makes a mask out of it.
Oh.
And it was just awesome. And
he looked like Kenshi.
And it was a really great issue. Like I hate flashback stories, and I was blown away with how exciting the story was. But I was just going to mention the 0 year stuff all around has been great so far.
Yeah, and
at least the stuff I've read.
I just wanted to end with saying my favorite part of it was the bringing in Dr. Death, which it was the very first villain that Batman fought in the 30s. So it's huge, and it's totally reimagining of it, and it's
in a really creepy way.
And it's awesome.
Big spoilers here. Big spoilers. Yeah. I didn't like that.
Spoilers.
That Lucius Fox may be a bad guy.
I'm thinking it's Clayface, to be honest.
Probably Clayface. Anytime they make a good person a bad guy, I can't believe they did that. Well, it wasn't them. It was old Clayface.
Right, exactly. So they know. Yeah, he
Clayface has gotten into the Wayne Tower before.
Oh, yeah. It's possible.
Anyway, that's my book of the week.
All right. Did you want me to talk about my book of the week?
Yeah, go ahead.
No. my favorite book this week was Superman Wonder Woman number 2 by Charles Soule. And Tony S. Daniels.
Mm-hmm. I had my finger on the Swamp Thing button.
No, Swamp Thing came out last
Swamp
week,
Thing
bro.
Came out.
it's so good, and it's very rare that an issue two. Scott Snyder, we were just talking about how his stories are way better all at once.
Yes.
And he tells these great stories, but sometimes issue to issue, I'm kind of like, I'm not really sure how I feel about this. But Charles Soule, everything he writes is like these small, compact, like every issue can stand alone if you want it to, but then they always have this overarching story. This is a perfect example. It was super action-packed, had a lot of character in it, and all of that stuff that you want from a book. But it also, reintroduced a lot of villains. Like this one had Doomsday in it, and they're wondering how he's attacking because he was from the Phantom Zone, I guess. And Superman realizes that the Phantom Zone's broken, and at that point, at the end of the book, you realize that Zod has gotten loose from the Phantom Zone. So now Zod's going to be the villain. Take a cake for Zod. So I'm pretty excited about where this book's going, and the art's awesome because Tony S. Daniels is like one of the most solid artists in comic books.
I mean, clearly the podcast just
and it's just it's good stuff.
If it makes you feel better. He's pointing the comic book at the mic.
Yeah, I am.
It looks really good.
It's a directional mic, so you got to point the comic at it. We know about that. So tell us.
Well, what about you guys? Yeah. What are your books of the week?
So for me, I was talking before the podcast with these five fellas, and my excitement was last week with The Amazing X-Men number 1.
Yeah. Great book.
Only because, like, I grew up on X-Men, you know, and the 90s, you know, it was like a heroin addiction. You just bought as much as you could, and then you crashed hard when you realized you had a bunch of crap in your system. I wanted to get back into it, and nowadays, there are so many X titles. I'm very confused a lot of times. I tried reading the all-new X-Men, you know, and that's been the one that seemed pretty good, but I literally picked up Amazing X-Men number 1 because of who was on the cover.
Yeah.
And because they had a Scotty Young variant. So I was going to buy it no matter what. Even if I didn't read it. I just love that fella. But effing Nightcrawler, man.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
And to read how it's coming about, it was one of those that, even though I was not 100% familiar with the X universe and where it stands, I was able to pick that book up, understand what was going on, and enjoy all of it.
Yeah.
And it was one of those. I am a grown man who
as
loves who loves adorable things. And so it had been so long since I'd seen the little baby blue Bamps.
Oh yeah,
and they're just so cute, and they just want to do good things. In theory.
I did want to point out that you're wearing a Pikachu-y.
Yeah, no, you don't need to bring that up. They can't see that. I'm a grown man.
You just said cute.
Right,
you just said
all in suits and ties.
Yeah.
Fourth wall, come on!
I came in my limo as I eat these unknown... Ooh, there's almonds in this.
Hopefully you don't have a nut allergy.
So that was definitely the book that got me really excited.
How did you get four of those in and not realize there's nuts in there?
Just shove things in my mouth. I can't help it. It's a condition.
You're making it too easy.
Yeah, I know. But another one that I was really excited about, I just wanted to throw out real quick, was The Return of Shaolin Cowboy. Not necessarily so much story-wise, but Darrow's art I could never get enough of. The detail, and I mean, to see how he actually works, his boards are gigantic because he puts so much detail in them. And I mean, the cover has a friggin' guy with two chainsaws attached to a pole, and he's killing zombies.
That sounds awesome.
How is that not a good time?
Right. I don't read this, and it sounds like I probably should.
And that's the thing, is like, so Shaolin Cowboy was originally conceived way, way, way back when. Darrow was doing Heavy Metal, the magazine.
Yeah.
The one that always had those, like, nice, like, racy ladies. You're like, hey, I'm a kid.
And they're, like, riding dragons and shooting machine guns.
I don't care how unbelievable this is.
It's when all the van art became.
Became so, huge. Darrow introduced them, and originally the Shaolin Cowboy only spoke in animal noises. Would cause mass destruction. So you look at this panel, and it's, like, this gorgeous panel. All this happens, and you look at the bubble, and you're like... What? Like, am I too young to get this?
It seems to be a disconnect here.
He's like, quack. And I'm like, I don't understand any of that. So.
It's like if Godzilla said quack and everything died.
Yeah, exactly.
It just doesn't make sense.
I still love it. I'm gonna go back to the pictures of the ladies real quick. I'm gonna come back.
I want to know more about this. I want to know more about this duck man.
Yeah. So that's all I got.
That's awesome. Yeah, so, that's great.
And Carl.
Oh, my favorite book
of the week.
I could talk about favorite memes or things that I saw online.
Gotta be this week.
No favorite books. Oh well, no. The best one this week was seeing all the Disney princesses with beards.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, actually, right? I'm glad you brought that up because it was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
There's a meme of Disney princesses.
Yeah, I was
going to
say that.
This is where I get all this stuff is from the Indie PopCon Facebook page. Like, anytime there's a cool meme, it's always on there first. And I always, like, I can't not click on it when the cover is Ariel from The Little Mermaid with just a bright red beard. It was glorious.
But no, the art is amazing. Whoever drew it.
Completely
those,
seamless.
Yeah, it's absolutely seamless. You have to check out our own Facebook page.
Yeah, you are a part of.
Well, I always go straight to that little puppy that's giving me a little wink and a commendation. He's down there at the bottom.
I would
encourage you to look at things with Nigel Thornberry's face on them as well.
Yeah.
There's a Facebook page for that, and I just started on that and pretty fantastic as well.
But I did want to have an honorable mention. This is my book of the week, but it was pretty close. It was Forever Evil Arkham War number 2 came out as well, which I don't know if you guys are reading it, but it's really cool to see kind of the political side of Forever Evil. Forever Evil proper, it's just secret society going out and kind of busting some skulls and, you know, trying to take over. But the Arkham War... It's kind of cool to see, okay, Bane has this group of people, the Man-Bats are taking over this.
And how Penguin's just playing everybody.
Exactly. It had its action and stuff like that, but it was just really cool to see kind of... you don't see a whole lot of comic books, especially Batman comic books, kind of take over or take that kind of stuff on. And so
cool. The villains, it's basically all of Batman's villains are either on... the Blackgate prison team or the Arkham team, and these two prisons of like
Dodge
are going yeah, basically right, yeah, yeah they're
much.
Going to war, and Bane is in the middle of it trying to rule everything. He just wants to take over all of Gotham.
You say no.
and then Penguin's like, hey, I'm with you, Bane. And then Scarecrow shows up. He's like, oh, by the way, I just was tricking Bane. I'm really with you. And, you know, so Penguin's obviously got just his own agenda to just,
money,
yeah.
Penguin always has his own agenda.
Yeah. And then it's cool that, you know, they kind of spoiled it, but like their Bane's trump card is the talons, because basically
he's controlling the talons.
Yeah, he's trying to.
Yeah, and so Scarecrow's team is trying to get Mr. Freeze to keep them frozen, because obviously like the power's all out and everything.
Yeah, right.
And so they're thawing out, and Bane's like banking on that. And then Scarecrow's like, no, we need to get Mr. Freeze to freeze these talons up real good.
But yeah, that's why it was just kind of
it's a good book. So. I've liked all the Forever Evil stuff. Although I will mention that today I got a little confused. My wires got a little crossed with Zero Year and Forever Evil. They don't take place at all together, but they're both right now about like severe power outages and chaos. And so I was like, wait a second, were there talons being frozen and Nightwings? What? Yeah. Riddler. I didn't really know. I was a little confused.
But I hope you were by yourself when you were in the bathroom on the John, and it just comes to you like, Riddler.
I was actually just watching my 1-year-old son, who's just like, already Dad, thinks I'm crazy, and he's just like watching me yell at the ceiling about, I don't know what's going on.
Then you just punch your kid right in the face.
I didn't do that. I didn't do that. But
it wouldn't get.
Yeah. I didn't get that on the record that I did not in any way abuse my child when I was reading comic books.
It wouldn't be a Nerd Management episode without a poop joke and a domestic violence joke.
Yeah, there's always some sort of off-color nonsense. Yeah. Well, here we go. Yep. Good.
But let's move along to my favorite part of the podcast is our moment of glory.
Yeah.
So you have, because I don't read all new X-Men, so you're going to have to talk to me.
Okay, so I talked to you about at the end of Battle of the Atom, which was a really great story. Spoilers. Spoilers, the end of Battle of the Atom, the teams kind of like split off and were in different areas, and certain X-Men went one way, certain X-Men went another way, as they often do. The X-Men are always like getting mad at each other and splitting off. But my favorite team is this team of the original five X-Men who have time traveled back or time traveled forward to our time, like current timeline.
Somebody get out a pencil and paper.
And Shadowcat is like teaching them. Well, she was with Wolverine's team, and then at the end of Battle of the Atom, she goes over to Cyclops' team. But I was reading All New X-Men, which was Wolverine's team, and I was like, wait a second, where are the time-traveling X-Men going? Because that's the book I want to read. Well, turns out All New X-Men is the book that's going to be about the time-traveling X-Men. And the moment of glory is they, and I'll show you guys, but people on the podcast can't see it. I'll take a picture and post it. But basically Magic, who is Colossus' sister for all of us X-Nuts that know all about that stuff, she magics them new costumes. And their costumes are actually really cool. Like, Angel's wearing the red because Angel wore the red costume for a long time. Iceman's got a light blue. Cyclops has a dark blue. Jean Grey has the green, which is very reminiscent of, like, her Phoenix costume. Yeah. But the one that really threw me is Beast has orange on, and I just don't know why. Like, maybe they were just like, we don't have another color. Yeah. So
we can't have a third blue, is what it was.
Right, yeah. We can't have a third blue, so orange. And he's also wearing goggles, which I don't understand that. But the costumes are awesome, and I'll put a picture on Facebook.
You know when ice blindness?
Yeah.
Very, very good.
No. Cyclops has his visor, but everyone else has no eye protection. And I think Angel would be the one that would need goggles before Beast, because, like, the bugs and stuff.
Yeah, he flies.
The bugs.
Beast, with his feet so big, he's an avid skier, and so the goggles.
Yeah.
Because he's just using his feet to go down the hill.
Yeah, but I thought that...
hill in there.
I thought that was...
Also, there is a hill.
I thought that was a really awesome moment, just because... It's the old X-Men from the 60s wearing updated costumes, and they just look really cool.
You only know that if you're a huge X-Men fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are they the same costumes that are on the X-Men Gold over there?
No, this is... But see, that's the Angel costume I was referring to, like he had the red costume for a long time.
Okay. Yes, this one over here for the people listening.
Again. Right there.
Yeah. So that's the moment of glory for today.
Now it's your guys' turn to talk.
Now we're gonna do our getting to know you segment, where we're gonna get to know the Indie PopCon.
Like intimately?
Yeah.
As intimately as you want to get us into.
We're all dancing.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, and feel free to, you know, if you guys feel like you want to make an announcement that you haven't made, you can do that. I'm not saying you have to, but
But I am feel free you to,
talk about whatever. Like, this is, we want to get the word out about your PopCon to our,
this episode won't
to our four fans. No. Yeah.
Well, to our four fans. Are we all in the room?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty
much.
Well, no.
Borderline over there.
Well, first, Indie PopCon. It's next May 30th, 31st, and June 1st at the Indianapolis Convention Center. We already have right at 100,000 square feet paid, bought and paid for, and we're packing it in with tons of great vendors and artists. Yeah, packing it in, Chase, packing it in.
And sex
put some more nuts in your mouth.
Get some more Mexican. You know, I'm actually going to get in on this Mexican wedding situation.
PopCon is a popular culture convention, and Indianapolis has never had one. The closest thing we've ever had is Gen Con, and Gen Con is huge and popular, and I love it, and a lot of people around here love it. But they're gaming only. So,
right. Yeah.
We want to be multifaceted. We want to be the TVs and movies and the comics and the anime and cosplay and everything else that is all over our Facebook page and website. We want to encompass it all, everything that's geeky, yesteryear, today, and tomorrow. We want to be everything geek. So,
and why this is such a perfect pairing, why we wanted to have you guys on, is that's basically what we do here at Nerd Management.
So we try to.
We try to talk about, normally we have a news segment and we talk about TV and video games and movies and stuff, because, like, we love all of that stuff, as well as comic books, obviously, but...
Right. And there, that fits to the podcast, we're actually reaching out to people that do podcasts, and we don't know of any other convention that even does that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're encompassing the... God, I love that word, encompass. I need to quit using it.
It's really good, though.
Yeah, but I use it too much.
We say awesome
twice in
too
one
much.
Sentence on my YouTube channel. But we're trying to mix in a lot of the internet culture, because it is really what is popular. It's the true geek thing to do. Anybody can do it, but not everybody can do it well. So
right.
we want to encourage people to really bring out their geek. So come to Indie PopCon next year.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What kind of things can we expect as far as, like, you talked about guests, but, and you don't have to be specific, but are there going to be, like, comic book creators and movie guests and all of that stuff? Like, is that what we're...
Yeah, that's, I mean, definitely where we are aiming for, because a lot of ways that, you know, we want to make PopCon different is we want to have a lot of different areas of interest, not just comic books, but we do understand the traditional setup to a lot of conventions. So when people think about, you know, the typical convention, you're always like, okay, who's the main person coming? That's
right.
Always, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we are definitely working on those, and we have some names, and those are already up on our website of the confirmed people, but there are definitely people that we are in talks with right now that once we know, we will be sure to let you guys know, because it's going to
awesome.
Be big news, you know. Yeah. And we already, you know, like Norm Breyfogle, who did some work on Batman back in the 90s. He's going to be there. We've got Dave Reddick. And there's a lot of other names that I know I would mess up if I tried to do it off. Tom Bancroft's going to be another one who does a lot of Disney animation and illustration.
But he doesn't draw beards on any of the women.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Getting back to that, Mulan has a Fu Manchu.
Who has a Fu Manchu?
Mulan.
Which is check that out if you get a chance, because it's glorious.
Oh, yeah, it's so good. So, yeah, we definitely, you know, not only are we going to have the guests, we're going to have panels.
Oh, awesome.
And a lot of, like, our artist alley is not going to be limited just to traditional artists, but it's going to be anybody creating original content. You know, so we're encouraging people like podcasts to come, you know, get booths there and things like that. As well as, you know, people... Because, I mean, I love traditional art. I mean, I've been reading comics my whole life. But what's really been just gnawing at me is seeing all these people make adorable things out of, like, crochets. You know, and all those just, like, small things, or hats and stuff like that.
What was that guy we saw at Cincinnati was making the paper action figures?
Yeah, paper mache action figures.
But they moved. Like, they had moving parts, and they were made out of folded paper. It was amazing.
Yeah, I've got a friend right now. She just started doing paper taxidermy. So, basically, she takes cardboard. And she will make, like, fictitious creatures' heads. So she made a Tyrannosaurus Rex, and it was... I'm putting my hands out.
It was this big.
It was this big. It spanned 5 miles. No. It was maybe, you know, like 3 feet long, you know, and she even put little bitty T-Rex hands in the front of it.
That's awesome.
So just people doing that, you know, crafting those things is so cool to me, you know?
Independent game developers. We're going after...
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so we're trying to get some bigger names in there that I can't name yet, but the independent game developers, there's a huge group in Chicago that's getting interested that wants to buy a huge block of booths, and there's going to be a lot of good content for mobile devices and computers. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, we already... I mean, we're in talks with Who of North America right now for them to come and get a booth. So any of you Whovians, you know, that
yeah, a little bit.
That's awesome, too. Those guys
are really
so cool.
Awesome. Yeah. Like, I don't know if anybody that's here locally, I don't know why I keep moving in closer towards the mic, but their warehouse is here. It's just off Lyndhurst, and it's not a traditional storefront. You know, it's their warehouse, so they have open houses, like, once a month. And if you haven't been... It's so amazing. Like they gave me the tour, and it had to have been their millionth time giving tours, but it's still, like, I was in shock and awe.
Sure.
I mean, I don't want to reveal it if you're going to go, but it's...
I just imagine it's like the end of Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark. You just, like, walk in, and it's just, like, endless boxes.
I've got one question.
And then there's a TARDIS.
Is their warehouse bigger?
I knew that was somebody
have to walk through a TARDIS door.
I don't know. I got tripped up by canine.
Yes.
And then he started talking back to me.
What?
That's awesome.
That sounds amazing.
It would have been really funny if you just deadpan were like,
it's actually
the exact same size inside and out.
Standard building.
Yeah, it's pretty standard. Well, I mean,
he doesn't have the schematics in front of him, but he's pretty sure.
Yeah, I mean, we can cut this all in post, right? Yeah. Maybe sound smart. So, yeah, I mean, that's going to be a lot of... And one of the big things that we're trying to do... that I feel is different from other conventions is we're really reaching out to the public to try and get feedback. You know, if there's enough people that want something there, then we're going to do our best to make sure it happens.
I'm going
to
go ahead and just say what I already posted on the website. I already put it in the suggestion box. That I think it'd be awesome if you could get, and this would be difficult, but get Lin Wein and Bernie Wrightson together.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if they, like, I don't even know what their relationship standing is right now.
Yeah.
But I've never seen, like, Lin Wein's been at a couple of conventions I've gone to. Bernie Wrightson was supposed to be at one we went to, but canceled last minute. But
I didn't know you were coming. He just didn't
want us to have to sign my Swamp Thing tattoo.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, not that weirdo.
Lin-Wein probably called me like, dude, you gotta... No.
But I would love to see those two guys, like, do a signing together. And I, as far as I know, there's not a convention that's done that in the last, you know, 10 years. So it'd be really awesome to see that happen at PopCon.
Yeah.
But I put that in the suggestion box, and now that's...
Now it's up to them, I guess. And I mean, those are ones that we're definitely, you know, reaching out to. We still feel we're pretty ahead of the game in terms of scheduling and different things like that.
That's awesome.
I think one of the things, and that's where, you know, all the fans and all the people that could really help us is we're a first-year convention. So a lot of these people that you and I would both want, you know, are a bit more hesitant towards first-year conventions.
Right.
You know, especially when there's things like Wizard, who can come and just, you know, I mean, they're having 15 conventions a year.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're...
Is that all?
Yeah. That was
only 15.
Yeah. More than one a month, you know. And so it's one of those that our main goal is just we want to bring something to Indiana for people that love all the things that we do, you know. And, you know, my whole thought is... If I go in there and I just like comic books, I can leave knowing, you know, like there's all sorts of awesome board games for comic book fans.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to plug that DC deck building game. That thing is just...
Well, what excites me about it is you kind of touched on it. It's all
DC deck building.
it's all encompassing because I'm not just a comic book guy. I'm a comic book. I see that. I took it. You know, I'm.
He doesn't overuse it.
Encompass. I'm a comic book guy. I'm a gamer. I'm a board gamer. I'm everything. And it's nice to be able to go it kind of do a one-stop shop sort of thing where I can just go and everything that I care about is there, and Doctor Who. I'm a huge Doctor Who fan. Yeah. So that's awesome. And I know I'm super appreciative of it. I'm sure you are too. Yeah. So
I'm really excited. We're definitely going to be there.
And,
there's been a lot of people that I've talked to, and I've been working on getting hotel room blocks for people that are going to want to stay downtown. And the kind lady that was helping me at the most recent hotel, she was like, is this just going to be all comics? I was like, no, this isn't going to just be all comics. We're going to have all... I just
started
listening.
Are you crazy?
Smack her in the face.
Good day, man. We're not a traditional Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, well, then you're going to have a Game of Thrones actress there? I was like, yeah. And she's like,
yes,
I'm going to be there. She's like, I thought it was just going to be all comics, and I just don't read comics, so I wasn't going to be interested. But if you're going to do this, this, and this, well, yeah, I'm going to come.
Absolutely.
So it's we're trying to do we're going to try to do Indianapolis right and really have an all-encompassing
community. That's exciting.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think it's fantastic what you guys are doing, and I couldn't be more excited. I'm more excited about that than any of the other conventions that I kind of have on my docket.
I mean, I'm going to try to go to as many as possible because I love all conventions, but I'm really excited about what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably, I don't know, because we're going to have some other people on here, but I kind of want to say that this is the one I'm most excited about.
Yeah.
Like, of all the cons that I'm going to be going to this year.
I can easily trick my wife into coming. Like,
yes. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, I mean, and that's what I did with C2E2 the first year.
It really is.
I was like, hey, there's these people from Walking Dead and True Blood going to be there, and my wife was like, oh, I like those shows. I'm going to go with you. And now she goes every year with me because she's seen how awesome it can be. But a lot of times, like you said, like, people, when you say, oh, you want to go to this comic book convention with me, they're like, oh, no thanks, nerd. Pass. But when you talk about the PopCon, it's everything. Like, there's something for everyone, and that's kind of a cool idea.
And I've been to the traditional Comic-Con, and if you couldn't tell when I didn't have my favorite book of the week, I'm not really a comic book person. But that's what I've got Chase here for. But I've been to a traditional Comic-Con, and they have their exhibit hall open from middle of the morning to 6 o'clock or so at night, and then the convention's done. There's really nothing else to do. But when we open up Friday morning, we're going to have programming until Sunday evening, and it's just going to be. We're even going to try and get some 24-hour gaming areas.
That's awesome.
With some little help from our fans, but. We're going to try.
So the plan is that nerd management's not going to sleep that weekend.
Pretty much.
Again, the community is used to Gen Con, and it really is a 24-hour thing.
Yeah.
And that's what I've come to love about a convention. When I'm at a convention, I'm there for that period of time. I don't want to be done at 6 and then have to wait until the next day. We're gonna have evening events. We're gonna fill it out. We're gonna have things to do and people to see and places to go and. People to meet. This is going to be a great place to meet your new best friends.
I mean, surely you guys will have speed dating, right? That's a
that's
a con must. So that all the creepy dudes can hit on all the slave Princess Leias in the room, right?
We have been approached by the sci-fi speed dating folks.
Woo!
We'll see where that pans out.
That's awesome. That's exciting.
But.
I mean, not for me, I'm married, but I just like seeing everyone. I like seeing the love connections
else,
happen.
You know?
So that is, if you go and you look in the dictionary, that's called a voyeur, sir.
Thank you for that little...
Yeah,
see,
welcome.
New words. Encompass and voyeur, all these new words that are so great.
If you're going to be a voyeur, PopCon's where to be, because we're really going to be...
You guys are using this word.
Well, no, we're going to...
We're going to overuse voyeur now.
Well, there's going to be a lot of people to see. We're also going to try and become a premier cosplay event or a location. So it's become very popular over the last few years. And it's to the people, to me, to say that it's been popular to the people that do it for years and years and years.
Sure.
But it's become public consciousness in the last few years.
Right.
It has a TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it has more than one TV show, if you look at it that way. when you have the Big Bang cast out in the middle of the desert wearing the Star Trek Borg costumes. But the we're looking at having three different cosplay contests.
Whoa. That's awesome.
The one on Friday, I don't want to spoil that one yet, but then we're going to have the traditional one on Saturday, to where it's the full-on dress as you want, come out and be your best cosplay character. And then on Sunday, we're going to have our, hopefully, we're going to have our own Just Kids cosplay contest.
That's awesome.
In the afternoon and not at night. So that Sunday is going to be a great day to bring the kids out.
That's awesome.
Granted, it'll be great to bring out the kids any of the days, but yeah. We're really going to key on the cosplay contest for the kids on Sunday.
And that's nice that you're going for the entire family. It's not just, you know, like the dad or son, or the son. It's everybody's allowed, you know.
Instead of marketing to one demographic, you're hitting them all.
Yeah, that's right.
Smash
yeah,
them
just
no, I mean, yeah, once a geek, always a geek. If you're,
exactly.
If you're a geek at 2 years old, you're going to be a geek at 200, too.
Yeah, if you make it then.
Well,
well, anything else you guys want to say about the con? We're really excited about it. I know that.
Yeah. Any spoilers? Any at all?
Any spoilers?
The mics are off, I promise.
Yes. Yeah, turn the mics off.
Let's cover it off. It's, fine.
It's not a camera.
because of the outpouring that we've been getting, and we've seen the need to get even more convention room space.
Ooh.
So on Monday, or more than likely on Monday, so 4 days from now, we're going to launch a Kickstarter campaign, which will be the first time you're going to be able to buy tickets, and there's going to be some exclusive art prints that are going to be available.
Oh, that's awesome.
By at least one well-known artist. So it's going to be something to check out. Huh? Yeah, jeez.
These Mexican cakes are, I can't stop eating them. The bag's been in front of me the whole time.
I know, it's almost gone.
You're doing
well,
so
no,
good.
Maybe you need to make about 1,000 of these, and it needs to be part of the Kickstarter.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Just send out Ziploc
you
baggies.
You already have my cakes are involved.
Homemade Mexican wedding cake.
But,
I thought you were talking about eating them, though.
It was a difficult decision to go with Kickstarter, because for a first-year convention, we already have the convention space, so we already have a space. It's not like the convention's not going to happen without the Kickstarter campaign, but with the all the feedback that we've gotten on Twitter and Facebook and our website, and we just keep getting bombarded with, hey, what if you want to do this, and can you bring in this person? And to do that, we need some more additional capital now rather than next May. So we're going to launch it with ticket sales and additional sponsorship opportunities for businesses that want to buy in and really grow with us.
That's
as
awesome.
We start out.
Yeah. And if you don't mind, we can put post a link to the Kickstarter when we post this episode, if you guys want to, of course,
well,
with your blessing.
Absolutely.
Of course.
It's gonna, Kickstarter becomes a beast of its own. So it has to get over-promoted. It
sure.
just has to, it has to be constantly alive. We're going to run it for the minimum term of just 1 month, I think, is the minimum term.
We got that sweet video to go along with it. I forgot about that pain in the A.
Yeah, so Chase, you'll get to see
it's so bad.
Starring in the
so
leading role, in fact, pretty much the only role, in, I think, a really cool Kickstarter video. And I am probably, arguably, the worst person in this video. You won't know what I look like, but you'll see me staring at a whiteboard. Actually, the whiteboard.
No, don't tell them. They should watch it and then try
and then
guess
try to
who
guess
you
who.
Are.
Oh, that's well too late now.
No, it's not.
Right?
No, they weren't really listening.
The Mexican wedding cake's out of the bag.
Too much
crinkling. We just were holding hands for a second while we crinkled that bag together.
That's not my cake.
It's wedding cake.
Yeah.
There's your spoiler. Spoiler
awesome.
Alert.
Well, cool. Well, we're gonna post stuff up on the Facebook.
Too late.
Missing the button.
Yeah. We're excited. We're gonna try to come and do some like press work at the con and stuff, and like talk to guests, get interviews and stuff. Like, we're really excited to make, like, we want to be as much a part of this as we can, because it's.
That is what's so fantastic.
Like,
about
we are an Indiana-based podcast. Like,
right.
Indianapolis, we're an Indianapolis nerd podcast. And so we want the nerd levels of Indianapolis to,
oh, yeah.
you know, keep going up and up and up. And,
yeah, exactly. You do not have to be an elite geek to have a lot of fun at PopCon.
Yeah. So exciting.
You don't have to have the desire to fly out and get a ticket in San Diego to perfectly afford Indianapolis. And we want to grow to be that big or bigger.
Right. That's awesome. Oh, that's so exciting.
Well, and it is good to chills. Know that, you know,
goosebumps, my
hair
is
standing up. You definitely don't have to be an uber geek, because Carl over here has never even read a comic.
Yeah.
And for some reason, he's proud of that.
He's got a really cool Star Wars shirt on.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, did you guys collaborate with what you guys were going to wear today?
Well, we're both huge Star Wars geeks, so that wasn't a far stretch. There is nothing.
There's not a dice roll, really.
This was my class.
I'm not all tatted up like Chase is with Mandalorian.
How do you guys feel about Wedge Antilles?
I love Wedge.
Dude, I could go on a rant, and I do. I often do rant about this, and I'll try to keep it short here. But I consider Wedge Antilles the hero of the original trilogy.
No. Okay.
The unsung hero.
Oh, no, it was definitely Porkins.
Porkins sacrifices himself early, but Wedge survives the whole thing. He's there for the destruction of the first Death Star. He comes up with the harpooning of the legs on Hoth when they don't know how to defeat the walkers. He's like, hey, just shoot your harpoons out. And then Luke's like, yeah. Got your back on Hoth, everybody. And Wedge is like, oh, man. Every time Luke steals the limelight. And then Return of the Jedi, who's the only pilot from all of the movies that follows Lando into the Death Star?
Well, I mean, that,
spoiler alert, Legend. He's only in the third one, though.
Yeah, I know, but he's the guy driving the
Falcon. He's co-piloting.
A bigger ship. But, so his skill level is probably higher. But, I'm the counter-argument here.
But Wedge is Lando's wingman.
Chase your rebuttal.
Yeah, my rebuttal. I have a few moments. So
you have 30 seconds for your rebuttal.
it's Wedge Antilles, so I have to give it up. You have total win on the first one. The second one, my only question is, why are there harpoons on the ship to begin with?
I always just assumed as a child that it was for towing other, like if other snowspeeders crashed, to tow them back.
So
I guess I don't know.
We can maybe see there's no point whatsoever.
That's a really good point.
But that's towing the snowspeeders makes sense,
that
right?
Makes no sense because it's, yeah. It's you're literally shooting a stake. Like it's not like a
it's the MacGuffin to be able to
if
do
we're
that.
Do this, then tauntauns.
Are beautiful creatures.
Well, no.
Majestic.
Are they native to Hoth? Because they never really mention that.
Right. I don't
and
believe
if they're
so.
Not, then why do they die when they're outside?
Right. Well, yeah. If they're native, and what is on the inside? White sausages.
That's what my insides look like.
I don't think that they're native to Hoth. But what's your counter argument for three? Because
three was just I mean, he's great. Like he has the longevity. He's riding it out. You know. He's like, hey, I'm still
That's
here.
That's what she said.
You know?
Yeah. My wife is not riding.
Yeah,
but the Falcon, there's only two ships that only two ships fly. Only two ships fly into the core of the Death Star, and it's the Millennium Falcon, piloted by Lando and Nien Num. And
did you say Vietnam?
Nien Num.
Urso Trax.
And his, which he looks like he might be from Vietnam, a planet similar to Vietnam.
Oh yeah. It's just like
But anyway, and one lone X-Wing piloted by another than Wedge Antilles.
Get it on autopilot. They didn't tell you.
I've never seen
no,
that.
He's riding in there.
He's riding in there.
He's going into the Death Star raw dog. Just Wedge.
I just Wedge
is raw dog.
Story of my life.
He's the man.
So I definitely feel like you should write a thesis about this.
I won't lie and say that I haven't written some fanfic that involves Wedge.
When we have the site, that's the first article that you need to write.
I will.
Yeah. I want to help to get this posted. My only is if you ever have somebody on to your podcast that wants to talk about the dispute between Greedo or Han shooting first, that I want to be there for that.
It's always Han. There's no...
Exactly. But
yeah.
I want to have like a long... Like I found one other person. They're like, oh, Greedo totally shoots first. I don't want to get into it now because, you know...
We
don't have another week.
Yeah,
exactly. I've just been wanting to just destroy somebody verbally with that argument, so...
I can't see... And like you said, we won't get into it, but
Suck
I can't see... I can't see
the counter argument to that, because it's clearly what it was.
Right.
Well, let's
So that's a reason to have.
I wanted to I wanted to do real quick. We wanted to talk about the topic. We don't have a lot of time, but Alec and I were talking about collecting and just in general, like comic books, action figures, everything. And what's like, there's a certain level of obsession that's reached with that. Alec was talking about how he loves variants, and you even mentioned Scotty Young variants, like you have to get all the Scotty Young variants.
Yeah.
I'm big in, like, I collect every appearance of Swamp Thing. Even there's an issue of Crisis on Infinite Earths that his hand is in one panel, and I have that issue just because, like, I have every appearance of Swamp Thing, any appearance at all. And
what
so,
Man-Thing?
No, I'm totally against Man-Thing,
the same
100%.
Thing, right?
But I'm big into action figure collecting, but mostly I cherry pick anymore just because I have a kid and he's got to eat, so I can't really just get every action figure that exists.
He doesn't have to eat when he's unconscious.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, but for a while there, a lot of the lines that I collected were doing that whole build-a-figure thing where each figure came with a piece of another figure that you could build.
Yeah.
So you had to buy all of them to build this figure. And I got really bad for a while where I was just like, okay, well, I guess I'm buying all of them.
Yeah.
Even if it was a character I didn't care about.
Kind of like the Megazord.
Yeah. So what do you think it is that drives that, like, that completist obsession in specific? I mean, it's in all kinds of collecting, but specifically, like, comic book and toy collecting, it seems like it's really big. And you can attest to this like half-price books, just people like digging for hours in back issue bins.
One of the biggest things that I see is, you know, like I don't do a lot of the bigger action figures, but I love the little vinyl ones, and they have a Batman blind box one where you can buy it. The Batman doesn't even move. Like, his head tilts a little bit, but he's just adorable. And so me, again, being a grown man, I have to have nothing but adorable things in my place so I look like a really creepy guy if a lady would ever come over. But I
hear that, ladies?
Yeah,
you got to win. He's single.
Open invite.
We're gonna tweet out his address later.
So I think the main thing is just, you know, we all want, like, it's a quest for us, you know? And it's a very tangible and completable one, you know? Because it's like, all I need to do is really, I mean, I'll put some time into it because I'm going and searching. But other than that, it's just I throw down money for it.
Right.
You know? So a lot of times, like, I'll do it kind of just, for me with the Batmans, I'll only allow myself to buy Batmans, and this is horrible, but only when, like, I feel bad. I'm like, I need something to fill the void inside me. Where are you, Batman? And then I buy a bunch of Batmans.
I used to go around chasing down the Toki Dokis,
the little Marvel
keychains that were real adorable, and it got bad. Like, I would just, anytime I saw any comic book store anywhere, I'd just be like, oh, pulling over, gotta get a Toki Doki, gotta see if I can grab them.
I did that with the Batmans. You know, I bought Rob out here, and then I went to all the places around Rob that sold him, and then bought them all out. Then I had another friend that was on the north side, and then he'd buy out the north side. So it was like our little drug trade of Batman.
Your little cartel.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You looking to get in on this Batman score?
I got what you need.
That's
stay
awesome.
Out of my territory. Breaking Batman.
On that note,
Breaking Doki.
Thank you guys for joining us.
Yeah,
everyone can check you out on Facebook and Twitter, right? Give us a little shout out on that stuff.
Yeah, the website is Indie Popcon, so that's INDY.
Okay.
POPCO.
Cool.
And yeah, what are you guys' Twitters if you want to plug those as well?
I don't even know what that is.
It's just Indie Popcon.
Yes.
Hey out there, all you Nerd Management fans. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook and like us there. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at NerdMGMT. And don't forget to go to comicbookuniversity.com for all your comic book needs. Or if you're in the Indianapolis area, go to 7623 Shelby Street, where you can buy a selection of graphic novels, new comics, old comics, toys and games from Comic Book University. And finally, visit our affiliates at fanboyfactor.com, where you can check out comic book reviews, news, and other interesting stuff.